Steph Ryan has only been in the state parliament for 8 years, and a meteoric rise in her career found herself to be the deputy leader of the junior party in the coalition in Victoria. And Steph Ryan, who is the deputy leader of the Nationals, member for Euroa, can join us now on the program. Steph, thanks for joining us.
G'day, Warwick. How are you?
Why now?
Well, I've got a little one at home and another one on the way, and I guess I have always been of the mind that I would know it was time to go when I couldn't give everything to the job. I think that's what the community is owed by their local MP, and I just feel at this point in my life I need to have the flexibility to have more weeknights and weekends at home.
Is that a loss to the parliament that you can't make it work at your age, at your stage in life?
I'll let others be the judge of that. Look, I don't think it is necessarily going to be the experience of every young woman with young kids. There are others who have done it. I suppose it's a personal decision for me at the end of the day. I have heard many MPs giving their farewells over the years who have had long and stellar careers who have always lamented the fact that they haven't had more time to spend with their kids. And so I guess I'm just making a personal choice that I want a job that has a bit more flexibility to it than this one does. I've given everything to this job for the last 8 years and done my absolute best to represent and serve my community. But I think it's time for someone else to step up and have the energy and enthusiasm that's needed to do that.
Was it harder, do you think, because you were a country MP and your electorate's bigger, there are more kilometres to get around that as well as to get to Parliament and get to Spring Street and back every few weeks?
Yeah, that's definitely a challenge because as a country MP, you can't drop your kid at childcare and get into Parliament. You know, we have the practical reality of basically having to pick up our family and move to Melbourne for those sitting weeks. That makes it difficult. And, you know, when you've got events in the evening, you might have an hour and a half drive home at 10:30 at night. So there's no doubt that rural MPs face a lot of those pressures that come with big geographical areas and distance and the fact that we do have to leave our homes to get to Parliament. But as I said, I don't think that my experience is necessarily going to reflect for every woman who's going to come through the Parliament who wants to have children at all.
But do you hope that in a way by resigning where you do, there could be changes made to Parliament to make it easier for particularly young parents?
Oh, look, I definitely think that there is more the Victorian Parliament can do, and I have raised it in the past with the Parliament that I would love to see on-site childcare provided, particularly for rural MPs who do have to leave home, because there is that very practical issue. Childcare, as every shift worker in the country knows, is a very inflexible model. And so it's very, very difficult. If you don't have family in Melbourne who can step in and help you while you're in Parliament and you don't have childcare, you are caught in this constant juggling act. So there is that challenge. And I think it is a practical step the Victorian Parliament could take by providing on-site childcare. Canberra does that in the Australian Parliament because they again recognise that people have to travel. I think for me, one of the issues has perhaps been that I've been one of the first, not the first, but one of the first country women to have very young kids. And so maybe there is a bit of breaking ground. But I think there are some stellar women, young women across rural and regional Victoria who are putting their hands up, across all sides of politics, who are putting their hands up for Parliament. And I'm sure that more pressure will come on to make those changes.
There's been a lot of surprise at your decision that you are going to resign from Parliament. You've only been a member since 2014. Did you think you would be in Parliament as a parliamentarian for longer than this?
Look, I never put a time limit on it. I'm more always knew in my heart that when I couldn't give the job absolutely everything, I would know that that was the time to go. And I think that has perhaps come a bit earlier than I had anticipated, and family has brought some of those pressures on. But it's just a personal decision that this is the right time for me. And I am really excited about what the future holds. I have no idea what it holds or what the next chapter is going to look like. But you know, perhaps it's a generational thing as well. I think in my parents' generation, you know, they did one occupation for the course of their life often. They didn't have the luxury of changing. From my perspective, I just feel that I'm entering a phase in my life where I need a bit more flexibility around the job that I do.
It was a surprise to many, Steph Ryan. In fact, I spoke to a Liberal member of state politics not that long ago who's quipped somewhat flippantly, but still the best prospect they had for an opposition leader in the coalition was the deputy leader of the National Party. They were speaking about you. You were seen as a rising star of politics. Has your decision to resign surprised many, even in your own party?
That's very flattering, Warwick. It's come as a surprise, because in some respects it's come as a surprise to me too. This hasn't been a long process that I've been mulling over it. When you know the time is right, the time is right, and you have to follow your instinct on that, and I guess that's what I'm doing.
Did you ever harbour ambitions to be the leader of the Nationals?
Oh, look, Peter Walsh has always had my complete support as leader. He's been an amazing person at the helm for us. At different times that might have been mooted, but I'm really sanguine about the fact that politics is full of people who might have made great ministers or could have been great premiers or deputy premiers, but it's swings and roundabouts, and that's just life. Sometimes things happen and sometimes they don't, and I'm not going to lose any sleep over that. I know that when I am a old woman and I'm reflecting on my life, I'm not going to regret not being the leader of my party or deputy premier or minister or any of those things, but I will regret not having that time with my kids.
Should a woman be the next deputy leader of the Nationals at the very least?
Look, I'm going to leave that to the party room. That's not a decision for me to make. You know, I'm one vote in the party room, and that is ultimately a decision for the party room.
What do you think, when you look back on it, will be the best thing that you did in your time in politics?
To be honest, I think that a lot of the best things I've done are the things that people will never know about. And we all do this as MPs, no matter who you are and what your political persuasion. It's the small things, but they make a big difference in people's lives. And they're helping the person who is homeless and can't find accommodation. It's helping the single mum with kids who's struggling to pay her bills. It's those small things where a local MP can make a huge difference in people's lives. That's been the most rewarding aspect of this job for me. Irrespective of the other things I may or may not have achieved, I think it's the community aspect of it that I've always found very deeply rewarding.
So do you know what's next for you?
No idea. Well, I do know I'm having a baby 2 weeks after the election or thereabouts.
Well, there is that.
But after that, no idea. We'll wait and see.
Will you leave the door open for a comeback to either state or federal politics once your children are older?
That's not my intention. My intention is to seek opportunities elsewhere. I'm focused on building a career in a different direction. And as I said, I don't know what that direction is.
Can we talk about your party? Because the Victorian version of the Nats is in a really interesting position. You're very different in some ways to where the Federal Party has been at in recent years, particularly on issues like climate change and talking more actively on like things like public transport and Indigenous issues as well. What do you see as the role for the Nats and their current place, given the north-south divide that's in your party at the moment?
I think we are as important today as we were 100 years ago when we were founded. And at the heart of our party needs to be people who are strong local champions, and I think that's what we have in the Victorian Nats. We have people who are deeply embedded and part of their community, who think about their community first, and we work together as a team to get outcomes in Parliament. And, you know, across rural and regional constituencies, we face similar issues, so we unite around those issues. But I think the Victorian MPs are really amazing people who are doing fantastic work for their communities. And I think we have a very strong future because we always retain our local roots. And I think there will always be a role for a party that is dedicated to resolving the inequities that exist for people who live outside the capital cities.
What has the phone been like today since making your announcement?
Meltdown.
And you've been juggling childcare with all of that as well.
Meltdown. No childcare today, unfortunately, due to illness and a little girl who has just started vomiting with gastro. So it's been a busy day.
We better let you go and get back to it, and probably a good insight into how you can arrive at the decision you've made. Steph Ryan, thanks for joining us.